When was the last time that you sensed in a deep way that the Lord was speaking to you in a direct and a personal way? Are you walking with the Lord in such a way that you would be able to discern? When was the last time that you felt that the Lord was prompting you to take a new venture of faith?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I am so glad that we're tackling this subject here, because I think there's a lot of us who would say, there's something I really want to do, and I think God might be calling me to do it, but how do I know if it's my desire or if God's calling me to do that?
Oh, that is such a good question, Steve. And I think every Christian wrestles with that.
Yeah.
You know, God does place desires in our hearts. His Holy Spirit lives within us, but then we live this life in the flesh. And so, as you rightly say, not everything that I want to do turns out to be the will of God.
Yeah.
So inner desire is really important. But then it has to be put alongside two other things that we're going to look at in the Bible today. One is the confirmation that God may give through others who have been placed in your life. That's a great principle, that God, because he brings us together as part of the body of Christ, we're never in the position of discerning his will in isolation, or at least we shouldn't be. Others should be involved in that. And then the other piece is important too, an open door. You know, the Bible speaks about God closing doors that no one can open and opening doors that no one can close. Now, here are three things that when they line up, you can have real confidence that God is in this. I have this desire in my heart. There's the confirmation of others God has placed around me who are wise and discerning, and there's an open door.
Boy, I can't wait to get into this message more. So let's open our Bibles to Acts 15 as we continue the calling. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, I want to focus this morning in this first message on discerning God's calling for our lives. And let me frame a question this way. What does it take for us to be increasingly useful to Christ and to his kingdom? What would it take for you or for me to be more useful to our Lord Jesus Christ in the future than we have been in the past? What would it take for us as a church to be more fruitful, more useful in the hands of Christ? What should we pursue individually and together if we are to be more useful for Christ and for his kingdom? How can we be a church, a people who are more responsive to the call of God, more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, more ready to risk and to take initiative for the advance of the gospel? Now, I want to suggest three things that we can learn from the example of Timothy as we find it in the scriptures here. The first is simply the whole business of reputation. Reputation. And we're talking here about the ability to position yourself for growing usefulness to Christ. The ability for you or for us to position yourself, ourselves, for growing usefulness to Christ. Now, I think we see this with regards to Timothy in verse 2 of chapter 16, where we're told that the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. They spoke well of him. That's his reputation. They spoke well of him. Now, your reputation, very simply, is what the people who God has placed over you and around you would say about you if they were speaking candidly. Your reputation, it is what the people God has placed over you and around you would say of you if they were speaking candidly. Now, that's the first thing, reputation, the ability to position yourself for growing usefulness to Christ. Here's the second, readiness, the ability to embrace change for the advance of the gospel. Readiness, the ability to embrace change for the advance of the gospel. Now, there's something very fascinating here in verse 3. Paul wanted, we're told, to take Timothy along on the journey. So, he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Just to explain this, his mother then is a Jewish believer, and his father is non-Jewish, a Greek. And so Timothy is a Jewish man, but coming from these parents, he has evidently not been circumcised, and the family are believers in Christ. And we're told that Paul circumcised Timothy before taking him on as the apprentice on this second missionary journey. Now, this incident got Paul into a whole lot of trouble. And I'll tell you why. Paul was passionate about insisting that circumcision could not be added to the gospel. And if you just look back to chapter 15 and verse 1, you will see it quite clearly there that there were some men who came down from Judea to Antioch, chapter 15, verse 1, and they were teaching the brothers that unless you're circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, Paul and Barnabas, as you read on there, took a strong stand on this issue. They said to these folks who were insisting on circumcision, look, if you say that you have to be circumcised in order to be saved, you have actually undermined the gospel. You have so taken away the centrality of Christ by adding something to Christ that what you're preaching is no longer the gospel, and we have to defend the gospel. And there was a vigorous debate and dispute on this point. So Paul and Barnabas take this strong stand, which is, of course, affirmed by the apostles at the council that took place in Jerusalem. That's the story of chapter 15. And then at the end of all that, after taking this strong stand, what does Paul do next? He goes and he circumcises Timothy. Well, you see, this got Paul into all kinds of trouble. People who didn't like him made all kinds of accusations of inconsistency. Here's Paul, you know, he's in Jerusalem making a strong stand that you can't add circumcision to the gospel, but now he's taking Timothy, and before he takes him on as the apprentice, he goes and circumcises him. Where is the man, you know? He seems to be so inconsistent. So what's going on here? Why would Paul circumcise Timothy? I think the answer is quite simple. In chapter 15, Paul took a strong stand against those who were insisting on circumcision because he refused to change the gospel for the culture. He had no place for the kind of approach that says, you know, let's change the message in order to make it easier for people to hear, which is what the Judaizers were doing by insisting on circumcision as part of the gospel. But at the same time, Paul was also insistent on removing any barriers to communicating the gospel to the culture. And Paul's ministry was to Jews as well as it was to Gentiles. And when he goes on the second missionary journey, he doesn't want to be bogged down in endless debate about circumcision and whether Timothy should be circumcised or not. So as an act of freedom, he says, hey, let's just do this, and then it's not going to be an issue, and then we're going to be free in order to communicate the gospel. Now, it's important to grasp a principle here, and let's try and grasp it in our minds and our hearts. Faithfulness to the gospel involves two things. Never change the gospel for the sake of the culture. That's the first thing. Never change the gospel for the sake of the culture. That's a big issue in the church in this country today. You know, people don't like hell, don't like sin, are interested in themselves, so let's reshape the message so that it hits all the right buttons and is silent on the wrong ones. That is unfaithful. It is the sort of thing that Paul would have nothing to do with. Never change the gospel for the sake of the culture. But here's the second thing that goes with it. Always be ready for change that will advance the gospel in the culture. Always be ready for change that will advance the gospel in the culture. For Christians, and this may be our greater temptation to say, ah, we've got the truth. We've got the Bible. And we're content with that even if no one is listening, even if we're not reaching people effectively. But that is not faithfulness either. So you see, there are these two strands to faithfulness to the gospel. Never change the gospel for the sake of the culture. You don't change the gospel. but always be ready for change that will advance the gospel in the culture. Reputation. The ability to position yourself, for us to position ourselves, for growing usefulness to Christ. Readiness. The ability to adapt and change for the advance of the gospel, even where it's costly, to pay a price, to move outside of the comfort zone.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled, The Calling, part of our series, The Apostle's Apprentice. And we'll get back to this message in just a moment. I want to let you know that Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, but as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's Advent devotional. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 40, and it's called Waiting for the Lord. This is our gift to you as you give a gift of financial support this month, our way of saying thank you and helping you prepare for the upcoming Christmas season. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, openthebible.org. All right, back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Reputation. The ability to position yourself for growing usefulness to Christ. Readiness. The ability to adapt and change for the advance of the gospel, even where it's costly, to pay a price, to move outside of the comfort zone. Here's the third thing, recognition. When I say recognition, don't think of trophies or medals or awards or anything like that. We're talking about the ability to discern the call of God on your life at any given time. Now, this is critical, individually and for us together, if we are to have growing usefulness to Christ, the ability to discern the call of God on your life at any given time. Are you able to recognize the voice of God? That's a huge question and a key to usefulness. Or are you deaf to the Spirit? Are we able to discern the promptings of the Lord that moves his living body forward into action? See, the ability to discern what God is saying individually and together is crucial to our usefulness. See, corporate ability to discern the direction of the Holy Spirit is very different from an individualistic, self-confident, this is what I want. How do you discern the leading and the prompting of the Lord? I want to suggest to you three green lights that I've found to be very helpful over many years in my own life. I think they've been attested through history and are clear in Scripture. Normally, you would look to find these three showing together, though they may come in any assortment of orders. They may come in any order. Let me give you the three and comment on them briefly. Inner desire, outward confirmation, and an open door. Three green lights that you should look for as marks that enable you to discern the prompting of the Lord. Inner desire. One way that you will know that God is calling you to do something is that he'll give you an intense desire to do it. He'll lay it on your heart. It'll be in your mind. You keep thinking about it, talking about it. You keep being brought back to it. It somehow comes up in all kinds of conversations. You cannot shake it off. And we will see as we follow Timothy's progress that this desire for the ministry that he's engaged in just grows and grows within him. Now, this is not always the first sign of God's call. Remember, other people may be able to discern what God is calling you to do before you do. They may see your gifts before you see them. They may encourage you before you actually get how useful you could be in any given area. So it's not always the first sign, but it is a green light that you should look for. It may be that others see this first, but it will be a normal part of Christian experience that your heart will be in what you are doing. And if you find that that is no longer the case, it may well be that God is actually loosening the soil around your roots to prepare you for the next assignment. How else would he do that? But it's not just inner desire. It also involves an outward confirmation. You see, Timothy's ministry was not just something that he desired to pursue himself. It was confirmed by the church at Lystra. Now, there are many references to this, but 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14 is particularly important, where we're told that about an occasion when the elders of the church at Lystra, his local church, the elders of the church had gathered around Timothy, they laid hands on him and they prayed. And while they were engaged in that time of prayer over Timothy, someone spoke a prophetic word, is what we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. In other words, they were prompted by the Spirit of God to say something, which when they said what they did, whatever it was, we're not told about Timothy, all of the other elders and Paul and Timothy all knew that it was God who had spoken this word and that this was the truth and that this was what was being said about Timothy and his ministry. We don't know what that word was and we don't need to. But the point that's important for us is this. That Timothy didn't just drift into ministry. There was a clear sense that God had given this direction to his life. And it wasn't just his own inner sense of that that mattered. It was that others within the body of Christ also discerned it and affirmed it. Now, if this is the pattern, as indeed it is in the New Testament, of discerning calling, that it doesn't happen alone, but it involves the body, here's the important question for us. Who are the Timothys in this church today? Now, it's a very important question because if we are praying as Jesus taught us to pray, we'll be looking for the Timothys. See, Jesus taught us to pray. He said, the fields are white to harvest. So what are we to do? We're to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest field. We're to pray for that. Now, if individually and as a body, we are seriously praying, as Jesus taught us to pray, that laborers will be sent out into the harvest field, then surely we will be opening our eyes from our prayers and saying, well, who is there? I mean, who is there, and especially younger people, who have a good reputation and show a readiness for sacrifice and a flexibility of attitude, and have the fingerprints of God all over the ministry that they're doing here right now, to such an extent that the right thing for the church would be to say, let us release that man, that woman, so that they can give themselves 24/7 to the work that they're already doing and do it someplace else at some part of the world for the advance of the gospel and for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Let's get away from this idea that those who are called to serve are simply the volunteers who get that idea themselves. What about the church as a discerning body identifying those who are most gifted to be sent out for the advance of the gospel? This is a key to usefulness. The engagement of others. Who should you be speaking to, encouraging, prompting? Not necessarily for full-time ministry, but to take a step forward. To say, you know, you have something in you that could be offered into the hands of Christ. Inner desire, outer confirmation. The third thing is an open door. It's always the confirmation that comes by way of call from God is an open door of opportunity. And in this case, of course, it happened for Timothy when Paul arrived at Lystra. And here's Timothy, can you imagine it, faithfully serving the Lord in the local church. And suddenly Paul turns up and invites him to be the apprentice. Wow, what an opportunity. See, be faithful in whatever Christ has given you to do now. Do it with all your heart. Do it so others will see the effectiveness of what you're doing. You never know how you may be at this very moment being measured for a larger task that God already has in store for you. And who knows what that is? Three green lights. Timothy didn't drift into ministry. He was given this great desire. There was outward confirmation. There was an open door of opportunity. Timothy, when it gets tough, remember, this wasn't just your idea. God called you. Now, you see, here's the question. This is the third question and the last one for this morning, as again, I've tried to frame it for myself and now share it with you. Are you walking with Christ in such a way that you can discern what he is calling you to do? See, when a person is sitting in the congregation and they go out on a Sunday morning and they say, you know, I sense that God has spoken to me. That's an evidence that that person is walking with the Lord to the point where their ears are open. Now, are you in that position? Or are your ears clogged that even if God were to speak, to call, and to prompt you, you just wouldn't hear it? And Jesus spoke again and again about folks who have ears but do not hear. When was the last time that you felt that the Lord was prompting you to take a new venture of faith and you knew it was the Lord that was prompting you to do it? When was the last time that you sensed in a deep way that the Lord was speaking to you in a direct and a personal way? Are you walking with the Lord in such a way that you would be able to discern? You see, and our ability to do that together is only a reflection of the degree to which we're able to do it individually. So if we're talking this morning about what it really means to be a church that is more responsive to the calling of Christ, a people who are more useful for Christ and for his kingdom, here is where it is at. Reputation. What change can you make that will make you more useful to Christ? Readiness. What price will you pay for the advance of the gospel? And recognition. Are you walking with Christ in such a way that you are able to discern what he is calling you to do?
Three important questions as we wrap up this time together. Hope that you're able to reflect on those a little bit, but maybe you want to go back and listen to this message and those questions again. You can always do that by coming to our website. It's openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, our website address is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you an Advent devotional to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season. It's a 24-day devotional from Pastor Colin. And Colin, this is based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
Yes, it's a marvelous chapter of scripture to meditate on, especially as we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. And it's so full of good things. I mean, just verse after verse speak to us wonderfully. I mean, for example, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, that beautiful image of the flower and the grass fading away, it just speaks to us of the fragility of life. And we all come to places when we're feeling how fragile things are, things that we have, things that are around us, our own lives, the lives of other people we love and trust. And suddenly when you become aware of the fragility of everything in this world, you begin to say, what is there solid? What is there that I can rest on? What is there that will never move? And here Isaiah says, the word of the Lord stands forever. That builds strength into the soul. So this chapter is just full of wonderful, rich truth that will build, nourish, strengthen your soul. And it leads to this marvelous promise that's the title of the devotional. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So if you need renewed strength, this is a wonderful chapter of scripture for you to meditate on.
Well, we want to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support and to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season, Pastor Colin's devotional book, Waiting for the Lord. You can find out more or give your gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Our website is openthebible.org, and again, the phone number, 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all your responsibilities? Well, the Bible's got good news, and it may just lighten your load. Find out what it means to be God's fellow worker next time on Open the Bible.